This is PhotoBizX episode number 270, and today we're talking blogging strategies and storytelling tactics with photographer, sales and marketing coach, author, blogger, and podcaster, Christine Tremulay. And that interview's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. This should be a fun interview today with Christine Tremulay. She knows all about storytelling, marketing. She helps other photographers do exactly this. And the beauty of her situation right now is she is doing exactly the same thing as she reboots her own photography business at this time, which means she's putting everything she's talking about today into action herself. So I'm looking forward to getting into that with her in just a minute. Before we get into the interview, I did mention, I think a couple of months ago now, that I was planning to head to the UK and also the US later this year and traveling from one side of the US to the other. Well, that's had to be put on hold at this stage because there's just not enough time in this year to fit everything in that Linda and I want to do. But I am definitely going to the UK, and I really want to catch up with you if you're a listener to the podcast and you're based in the UK, if that's at all possible. So my plans are to arrive on the 13th of August, and I'm there for 2 weeks till the 28th of August. I'll be starting in Glasgow, which is where Linda's family's based. And what I would really love to do is get to Wales, Ireland, England, and obviously Scotland as well, and catch up with as many photographers as I possibly can. And if you are happy to have a boarder at your place for a night or two, then I would love to hear from you. I'd love to be able to set that up. I really have no idea or no set itinerary of how I'm going to get around the UK, the best way to do it, which order I should go in. If I can base it around where I'll be staying, and if that's with other photographers, listeners to the podcast, that's an absolute bonus. So if I can do that, I'd love to. And once I have a set itinerary and I know where I'll be staying, at least some of the time, I can set up some meetups in those different areas to catch up with you if you are based in the UK. I'm thinking on my feet as I record here, which is always dangerous. What I would like to do, and this is if you would like to hear this as well, is record mini interviews or a daily or thereabouts podcast with the photographers that I'm staying with as I go around. So I'm not sure if they'll go into the normal podcast feed, if we make them part of the Photography Experiment podcast feed. So again, I haven't given this a lot of thought yet, but I'd really like to record interviews with the photographers I'm staying with and that I get to meet along the way wherever possible. So if you think that's a good idea, if you're based in the UK, if you have an idea of the best way to get around in the UK or a good order to do it in, I'm looking for your help and your feedback as the dates draw closer. So feel free to email me. It's andrew@photobizx.com. If you have any ideas or suggestions for me, if you have a bed and you're happy to have a boarder, like I said, for a day or two, that'd be fantastic and super appreciated. You can also use the comments area for this episode of the podcast, or use the members Facebook group if you're a premium member. I can't wait to get over to the UK and meet up with you if you're based there. This, I don't want to call it a trial run, but this is, I guess, a smaller trip. It's a 2-week trip, and it's definitely in our plans for both Linda and I to do what we talked about and travel from one side of the US to the other in 2019. But for the UK trip, it's only going to be me. I'll be there on my own, which is totally unfair, Linda tells me, because it's her family that's based in the UK. But we have too many other things going on over here with the business as far as sporting team photography and other shoots happening. So someone has to keep the business running. And I've told Linda, because she looks after the money and the finances, it's up to her to stay behind and manage that part of the business while I go out there and do the work on the road for the podcast. Sounds fair, doesn't it? All right, looking forward to hearing from you and hearing your suggestions to make the trip as good as I possibly can.
And now, a macro look at the last episode.
In last week's episode, I interviewed Dave and Angela Landua, and it was an interview that I had been waiting for 2 years to record after hearing about their incredibly successful promotion / strategy for working with local small businesses and combining that with Facebook ads to generate an incredible source of leads. But not only that, take that all the way through to pre-consultations, to bookings, and fantastic sales with these incredible clients that they find through their strategy. To me, I thought this was one of the best strategies I've heard in such a long time. I love their approach to this. There's been a little bit of talk about this, but nowhere near as much as I expected since recording that interview. So I don't know if you haven't had a chance to listen to that one yet, but if you're looking for a strategy that combines third-party marketing with Facebook advertising to find your perfect client, that is the interview to get back and listen to. I really do believe it's third-party marketing on steroids. It's third-party marketing brought to a whole new level in a way that I hadn't heard it being used before. I think it's just fantastic. So again, get back and have a listen if you haven't heard that one.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
Alrighty, we're going to jump into this interview with Christine Tremulay in just a second. If you are hearing this announcement, it does mean you are listening to the free podcast episode. And if you are a regular listener, you know exactly what that means. It means I have to let you know, well, I want to let you know, so you're not shocked or surprised or upset when the time comes that you drop off from the interview, because I do save the second half of each interview for premium members only. And it's no secret that the second half of these interviews are most often the best, because that's really when I get a chance to dive in deep, get the nitty-gritty on a particular strategy or technique or system that the guest is talking about. They feel more relaxed. We've built up a little bit of rapport and they seem to relax a little bit more, let down their defenses and really open up and share the real nitty-gritty of the things that we've been discussing. So if you want to get the second half, the best parts of every interview, including today's with Christine, you can easily check it out for $1 with a premium membership trial, which lasts for 30 days. Just head over to photobizx.com/try. You'll be able to hear the full interview today with Christine. You'll get access to the full back catalog where you can hear the full interviews with any of the guests that you want to hear on any topic or strategy or marketing idea that you may have heard about. It's all there in the back catalog. Plus, I'll send you an invite to the secret Facebook group for premium members only. I'll give you instructions on how to join your very own mastermind group with other like-minded photographers. And you will get more support and more help from an incredibly caring bunch of photographers inside and part of the PhotoBizX membership. I don't want to say guarantee, but I am almost certain you'll not have experienced anything like this group. PhotoBizX.com/try if you want to test it out and put me and the membership to the test.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest is photographer, sales and marketing coach, author, blogger and podcaster, Christine Tremulay. With a background as a digital marketing strategist, Christine has helped countless photographers with branding, marketing and learning to sell in a way that just feels right to them. She's been blogging for more than 15 years, and she believes in the power of using storytelling in marketing. She's also the author of the book, Blogging Brilliantly for Your Business, 30 Days to Dominate Your Market. Her podcast is the Life Boss Podcast, where she discusses photography business with her guests in an effort to help listeners build a business they love. And Christine, she believes in learning to share your story with the world to attract your ideal client. And she believes that is the key to your success. She says her superpower is helping clients grow their confidence and her mission to help clients embrace their story, strengths, and what makes them unique. I'm rapt to have her with me now. Christine, welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you on the show. I mean, you do so many things. And one thing I didn't say in that intro is that you are a professional photographer. I know that you left that behind a couple of years ago, but I think you're returning to photography as well as all this other stuff. Is that right?
I am at this very moment. Well, actually, by the time this airs, the business will be up and running since I have a wedding coming up in 3 weeks. So, yes.
Because you were a wedding photographer. I understand you transferred to boudoir photography, but now you're starting another wedding photography business. Just talk us through that mindset and that process, why you chose the things that you did.
So I started 11 years ago when I became a professional photographer. I did sort of what everybody does. I sampled a variety of different types of photography. I thought I wanted to be a children and family photographer, but I realized really quickly I like it when I can give my clients instructions and they follow them. So I am not meant to be a children's photographer. It's fine if they're at a wedding, that's fine. But a big picture, not a children's photographer. So eventually I realized that the weddings were my absolute favorite. I love being in the thick of a wedding day, like being right in the middle of it all. That was by far my favorite type of photography. About a year in, I started offering boudoir photography, thinking that my brides would want it. The women that I worked with would want to do boudoir sessions as a gift for their spouse. Instead, I started attracting a lot of moms that I worked with. And after probably 6 or 7 years, I decided to transition my business and focus doing boudoir photography for moms and helping women see what makes them truly amazing and special.
So you're photographing moms and you're helping women, you know, realize the beauty that they have. So you stopped shooting because you had an injury, is that right?
I stopped shooting in part because I realized that I could help more women without the camera in my hand. That the camera that had helped me reach so many women originally, that was opening so many doors for me and helping people become more confident and see their strengths, had instead become a block. It was stopping me from reaching more people, and that I could reach more people through doing public speaking, through starting my podcast, through just writing and reaching out to more people and just helping more people believe in what makes them truly amazing. Shortly after that, I then also discovered that I had heart disease. And in the process of that, I have had 2 heart procedures, have had 8 stents placed in my heart. And as a result, it took me a few months, actually a few years, to recover and to get enough stamina back. Carrying camera gear is really heavy. It's kind of hard on the body. And I don't think you realize it at the time. You don't realize it until you can't do it. So now that I have a lot of my strength back and my stamina back and my health is in good shape, over the past year, I just kept thinking how much I missed weddings. And every time I would talk to somebody that was getting married, you could just hear it in my voice, how much I missed weddings. And I kept saying that I wanted to start a wedding photography business really focused on smaller and more intimate weddings. There are people throughout the United States and throughout the world that focus on these, but there isn't really anybody in Houston where I live going after this market. And it's something I'm very passionate about. I'm in my second marriage and I want especially to focus on helping people that are getting married for a second time celebrate their wedding and have amazing photos from it. So that is what I am launching in the very near future.
Well, first of all, when I said injury, I thought you had a shoulder injury. I didn't know it was something to do with your heart. So it's way bigger and more complicated and fallen than what I thought. So it's good to hear that you're getting your strength back and things are returning to normal for you. That's awesome. As a branding expert and a blogger, and you do everything you can with social media, you are everywhere. When you decide to start this wedding photography business, or now that you have, are you doing anything special to get the word out there?
From the business side of things, locally, I actually am already bringing on an associate photographer from the very start. And so as soon as we get the website launched, we're going to go start networking with other wedding vendors, wedding venues. As you said, I have a pretty decent social media following, especially I have a really good connections in social media in the local market. And I plan to connect with a lot of those people as well, just to help organically spread the word, which was when I very first got started, I was fully booked my first year in business, thanks to people that I knew through blogging. So that's also going to be a large component of that. But the other thing that I'm doing at the same time is I'm recording a video series for photographers about the whole process of building this business from the ground up. It really is a rebrand. I'm branding it as Amber and Glass is the name of the business. So I'm no longer working just under my name as I have for the past several years. So it will be a new brand, but it's also a rebrand of my own work at the same time. So I feel like there's a lot of things in there that can help other photographers think through the process. I feel like a lot of times when you have a business for several years, you start to realize that maybe decisions that you made early on don't quite fit you anymore. Just like I changed from wedding photography to boudoir photography, because at that point in my life, it was a better fit for me. And now I'm going back to weddings and focusing on them because it's the perfect fit for me right now. I think that happens to a lot of people in their business. They realize that maybe the logo that they chose in the beginning or colors or just their overall brand message was a good fit at the time when they were starting out. But now that they've grown, it doesn't quite fit. And so that's a lot of what I want to, basically, I'm going to work through my decisions publicly so that will help other people see decisions that they might consider making.
This sounds so good. So you're going to be on YouTube having these videos, sharing with the audience, with other photographers, you know, how you go about choosing colors, how you go about choosing a name for the business and all those, like everything that goes into the business, you're going to be sharing your decision-making process.
Everything I can possibly think of. So how we came up with the name, the colors, the logo, the feel of the logo. An interesting thing that I'm dealing with right now is because I'm so used to always writing from me and my voice, but this is a brand that needs a brand voice. Well, that voice will definitely be predominantly mine because I've learned over the years I can't write as someone else. I still want to be mindful of the fact that I have associates. Once I do contracts with my associate photographers, that's one of the other things I'm going to be talking through is like what contracts you need in place to make sure that your business is protected. But then we also plan to sit down and talk about what's our manifesto? What's the things that we believe in that we want to celebrate with this business so that we make sure that those are the things that we're then using across our marketing message in everything that we do.
This sounds great. Now, one thing I'm curious about is you've been online for so long, you have this following, you have these contacts. Everyone knows in your circle, Christine Tremulay. Why in the world would you go with Amber and Glass? As beautiful a name as it is, it's your name that's the brand. Why swing away from that? You're making life so difficult for yourself, it sounds like, anyway.
What is funny is I have always been the first person when somebody says, what should I name my business? I'm normally the very first person that says, use your name, use your name, use your name, because that's who people know, like, and trust. That's who people connect with. In this process, though, since, and in part actually because of my heart disease, I love my heart. My heart is behaving really well. It's being perfectly good. I've got clearance from all the doctors and everything else to go forward. They reassure me that I'm doing great. But I know that I always want to have associate photographers. And I feel like as an associate, it's really hard to tell people about the company that you work for when it's someone's name. Like, it's awkward to say, I'm Andrew for Christine Tremulay Photography.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not inspiring, is it, for me to say that?
No. And as soon as I told my friend Laura and I said, you know, I want you to come work with me as an associate. And she's so excited because she said the same. We've talked about this for years about having a business focused on shorter weddings, not the 8 to 12 hour. My longest wedding was 18 hours of wedding photography in one day. I've had weddings spread across 2 or 3 days, but I have had an 18 hour day. So she was also really excited about the idea of focusing on these smaller, more intimate and shorter weddings. And as soon as I told her, she said, well, what are you going to call it? And I told her some possible name ideas. And she immediately said, you know, that gives me a sense of ownership of it, too. That made it more comfortable for her to help promote it and to talk about it as a place where she works. And I think you see this a lot more in studios with multiple photographers, where having a name that everybody can say, I'm a part of this, it shows up. So that was really a big key in the ultimate decision to go that route. Plus, I've spent the past several years rebranding my Christine Tremblay site as me, Christine, the author, speaker, podcaster, and to unravel that just felt exhausting.
I can imagine. So it's easier just to start a whole new site and go again.
It is. Most definitely. I'm not going to hide it. There will be a link on Christine Tremblay that will direct people to Amber and Glass. And this whole video series will be at my website. So it's definitely going to be very visible on my name domain as well.
Sure. How do you go about attracting, you know, the initial clients when you haven't shot these small intimate weddings yet? I mean, you don't have a portfolio of small intimate weddings. So how do you get word out there that this is what you do? I can understand you can do that with words and SEO and marketing and advertising. But when someone comes to your site, what do you show them?
So I have actually photographed some of these over the years.
Oh, okay. So you're going to draw from your older portfolio.
I am. I'm definitely pulling from my old portfolio and sharing those images that I've taken over the years. Also, Laura and I actually just talked about this the other day. She pointed out that she had some images that she recently photographed that the wedding as a whole is a more traditional and longer wedding, but she wants to put a few of the images of just the couple. So the images that just show them and celebrating their marriage in her portion of the portfolio, because I plan to have a portfolio for her as well as one for myself. So that's how we plan to just pull images that show what we want people to see, that this is our work and these are the things that we've done. The last few weddings that I have photographed have all been much more intimate, smaller affairs, and therefore they're actually perfect for this. Because even when I was focusing on boudoir photography, I would still normally have two or three clients a year that would come and say, you know, my sister's getting married and she wants you to be her photographer too, or people that I've just known for many, many years approach me and said, you know, I know you don't normally do weddings now, but would you photograph mine? And so fortunately, they are also perfect for what we're moving into and probably in a way inspired this.
Nice. So it sounds like you don't need a lot of content. You just need the right content.
Yeah. And from the blogging perspective, what I plan to do right away, I've already made a list of roughly 20 different posts that I can write that are things like the top 10 venues in this city to have a small intimate wedding, or 10 venues you may not have considered for your intimate wedding. Things about non-traditional wedding dresses. Basically, what I've been trying to brainstorm is, if I was my client planning my wedding, what would I be doing searches on? And what do I already have photos that will support these blog posts? So, you know, have some content that's visual plus the words. So that hopefully to just bring things up in the search engine ranks pretty quickly, talking about what they're searching for.
I want to come back to blogging in just a second, because I really want to dive deep into blogging, because I know that's where your expertise lays. But you said something interesting that caught my attention earlier. You said that when you kick this thing off, or now that you have all these different contacts in your area and you've built up those contacts or your network through blogging. So it sounds to me like the blogging is as good as it is. It's the contacts that you've made from the blogging that are really going to help you launch your business. Am I understanding that correctly?
Contacts that I've made through blogging and also through social media, through local meetups. I think it's so easy to get wrapped up in spending time on Instagram. I'm spending time on Facebook, and we forget to actually go to local events and meet people face to face in person. And I am a vivacious and somewhat of an extrovert person. I also really, really hate walking into a room full of people that I don't know. So there's a part of me that's dreading, you know, going to more of these networking events. But at the same time, I've already been looking for what are just different things coming up where I can go, where I know people, where I can get in front of them and say, oh, you know, I'm photographing weddings again. I'm also going to reach out to past clients that even people that I photographed their weddings maybe 5 or 10 years ago, they still know other people. So I've kept in touch with a lot of my clients through Facebook over the years. And so I want to reach back out to them and say, hey, this is what I'm doing now. And if you know somebody that would be a good fit, and that's sort of the perk of, I'm really, if you think about it, I'm intentionally focusing on a 35 to 50 year old market, which in the wedding industry, most people don't focus on. But that means that my wedding clients from 10 years ago, who are maybe 27 to 32, are still in my market.
Yeah, that's smart. I like that.
And most, but not all of my clients from before are still happily married. But no matter what, they still may have a friend. So they can still refer me to their friend. Like, hey, that photographer, remember the photographer for my wedding 10 years ago? She's photographing weddings again, and she's perfect for you. So really tapping into that word of mouth, which is not necessarily an easy thing to do for wedding photographers, especially. I think it's so much easier for portrait photographers to say, you know, I do family photos and now tell your friends that I'll do their family photos. But for wedding photographers, once our clients get older, we don't always keep in touch with them. We don't always follow up with them on requesting the word of mouth, even though the reality is they may have younger friends, they may have siblings, they may have cousins. Like, they still know people that are getting married. But I mean, obviously, I can't speak for every wedding photographer out there, but I know I was never that good about checking in with somebody 4 years after their wedding and saying, hey, you know, it's engagement season. Don't forget to tell your friends about me.
No, I don't think many photographers do that. So you said you stay in touch with your past clients through Facebook. So it sounds like you become actual friends with your clients.
I have become actual friends with a number of my clients.
Like Facebook friends, I mean. They're not just fans of your page. You actually add them as a friend.
I actually add them as a friend.
Right, okay.
Or they add me and I accept the friend request. So I am actual friends. And my Facebook account is also public. So the majority of things that I post, the whole world can see. I come from a background of blogging and being myself authentically online. So I do that without a lot of worry. There are occasional posts that I lock down and make friends only. Those are normally political ones. I won't deny it.
Fair enough. Okay, let's talk a little bit about blogging. So you're launching a new business. You said you've got a list of, say, 20 or so posts ready to go in your head, titles and topics. So this is one of the biggest questions I have from listeners is, when I'm blogging, first of all, I don't know what to write about. And a lot of the blogs that I see, they're almost like a diary entry. It's like the photographer isn't writing for their potential client. I mean, is there a right or wrong here? Who should you be writing for?
I think it's okay to write diary-like posts because that helps build up the know, like, and trust factor. So I often tell people it's okay to write a post about maybe a new restaurant just opened up by you and you went there and you thought it was amazing. It's such a great place to go for a date and you want to talk about it. That's awesome. You know, it helps give people content to be interested in and to get to know you. But ultimately, what you're writing about should be for your next client. And so often when I do blog reviews for people, I pull up their post and I see it's the template. It's, this was my favorite client ever. This is my favorite venue. Here's some gorgeous photos. And then they say nothing more about the photos. An interesting thing happens if you've ever gone shopping to hire a photographer, which I have had this experience. I was trying to hire a photographer in my husband's hometown where he's from. And every post seemed to say exactly what I just said. Favorite client, favorite place, blah, blah, blah. And people weren't putting any, there were no captions, there were no descriptions. I had no idea why that photo even mattered. And sure, it was a great photo, and I'm a photographer, so I can tell it's a great photo. But really what they were doing is they're turning themselves into commodity, and it just becomes like a dime a dozen. Like, everything's the same.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean turning themselves into a commodity?
So ultimately, in the end, I go through all of these blogs. I know nothing about the photographers. All I know is I think two of them claim to be the best in the city.
Yep. Only two.
Yeah, I'm the best in my city. And I'm like, oh, says who? The top quality. I'm like, well, I would hope so. And people say things like, you know, I take amazing photographs. And I was like, well, I hope so, because I'm going to give you money. And since I didn't know anything about the photographers, when it came time, I narrowed it down to three, but I still knew nothing about these people, I felt. I had no connection. There was no excitement about any one in particular. Like, oh, that's the one I want to pick because of whatever connection they created with me. None of that. So I sent the email that every single one of us hates receiving. I sent three emails out that said, hi, I'm looking for a photographer on this date. What's your price?
Yeah.
Because the only thing I had left to choose people on was price, which is the commodity that none of us want to be. Like, we all want to be chosen because we're unique and special and the fabulous people and exciting to work with, or we see the world a certain way. But if we don't tell anybody that, and all we say is, look at my pretty photos, I don't see what's so pretty about them. They're not people that I actually care about. I don't know the people in the pictures, so I don't care about those people. And I'm like, yeah, cool. That's a cute photo. I don't get what the people are doing in it, but okay. Could you imagine if you read a newspaper and there were no captions for any of the photos?
Yeah. Be strange.
It would be really strange if you took all the captions away from the photos. And that's what a lot of people, because they say, oh, I'm a photographer, I'm not a writer. So they don't even want to write captions for the photos. And they don't want to give me a reason to care. And the human brain craves stories. There are so many studies on this. Our mind will literally invent stories to entertain itself. That's why we dream at night. At the end of the day today, after you listen to this and it's, you know, your work day is done and it's time to unwind, you might talk to a spouse or talk to a friend or read a book or turn on the TV, watch a movie, or go to sleep and dream. All of these are stories. Stories are actually how your brain unwinds. Like, our brain loves stories. Our brains are built for stories. And because of that, we have to give our potential clients stories of some sort. It can be as simple as, here is one photograph, and this is why this photograph has meaning to me. It doesn't have to be deep and elaborate. But when you tell me why that photo has meaning to you, and it sparks the serotonin release in me and the oxytocin, the love drugs release in our brains, the hormones that signal love to our brains start releasing, then you're the photographer I have over everyone else. Because you told me why that mattered to you, and I felt the same way. And then I don't send you an email that says, hi, what are your prices? I send you an email that says, I really hope you're available on the day that I need you. Or please tell me what days you're available so I can book you, because I can't imagine working with anyone else.
I totally agree with you about the captions, because I, for one, if I'm flicking through any kind of a book with pictures or even a magazine, if there's not a caption on the same page, like if it's a double page spread, for example, I'm looking on the next page to find the caption before I even enjoy the photo. So right. I know exactly what you mean there.
But we don't want to give it to our clients or to the people reading our website.
No, because too much work, isn't it?
That's too much work. I can't be bothered. I'm not a good writer. And I'm like, you can tell me. I did a blog post once and it was super popular. I got a lot of traffic for a long time. Father's Day was coming up, and my favorite moment in a wedding preparation, like the getting ready time, is when the parents first see their children. And I've had some really emotional, like, fathers seeing their children moments. So I thought of like three or four of them. I went and pulled the photos that I had taken in those moments. I wrote one blog post, put photos from four different weddings, and just shared how that moment makes me feel and photos that I've taken of other people and maybe little snippets. I always want to be respectful of somebody's story. So like I didn't necessarily include anything that might feel like an invasion of their privacy, but I did include a little backstory for each photo. And that was a post I did around Father's Day. I didn't have a wedding that week. I didn't have anything else to blog about. So I was like, oh, what else can I talk about? Oh, Father's Day is coming up. Here's something I can write about. And because it was so personal and sharing of myself in it, a lot of people read it and people shared it and people talked about it. And they talked about that moment on their own wedding day or their child's wedding day and how that experience was for them. So it got the conversation going.
So that particular post, your actual blog post, became like extended captions. You were saying why each moment, you gave a bit of backstory about each moment and why it was important to you. And so do you still then add individual captions under each image as well?
On that one, I put individual captions under each image and then two or three paragraphs about why that moment is special to me. So a personal story of my own and then just the other photos to support how I see that moment.
Does every photo in a blog post deserve or should it have a caption?
If it's not super obvious what's happening in the photo, I think they help. Or another thing that you could do is you could post a photo, a snippet of information about both the photo above and the photo below, and then another photo. So sort of like a double caption. But I think people expect some text under an image. They want to know, why is there an image? Who's this kid playing with the adult in this photo? What's happening here? Why does this photo matter?
Look, I agree so much because I find that if there's a caption, I tend to enjoy the photo more and I actually look at the photo more closely because of the caption. Because you said, unless it's super obvious. I mean, if I'm picturing in my head straight away when you said that, a couple coming out of the chapel and people throwing rice or whatever, so all over the couple or holding sparks, whatever it is. So I've got a picture in my head, even though that's super obvious, I think if there's a caption there explaining something about it, why that moment was so cool, you know, something about the guests, whatever, the loud cheer that went up when they came out, I'm going to appreciate that photo even more. And I'm going to look more deeply at it, which is what you want your visitors to do, don't you?
I used to have a really large canvas, actually, of an exit where the people were throwing rose petals at the exit. It was huge, and it hung over the couch in the studio space I used to have. And I would always talk to people about it out loud, about, you know, pointing at the thing and commenting on how, even though some of the faces were blurry, I felt like that made you feel like you were in the photo. And that I had noticed that everybody I talked with identified with somebody in the photo. And there was a woman in a purple dress and she was holding a point and shoot camera. And she was the person that I identified with in the photo. Like if I was in the photo, that would be me. And it was interesting to watch people's reaction. I was basically telling them a caption for the photo and to watch their reaction change from like, oh, that's a cool picture on the wall to, oh, wow, let me like actually step up and like really look at this photo. And then they would tell me who they were in the photo and everything else. So I think it just helps to talk about our pictures beyond just, I'm a great photographer and you should appreciate that and you should want to hire me because you think my pictures look amazing.
So true. So you also mentioned there with that particular post that you did for Father's Day that you took images or photos from different weddings and created a post around that. And I see a lot of photographers posting blog posts about one wedding. They shoot a wedding, they make a blog post. They do the next wedding, they make another blog post. What's the best way to do it? Is it to create a post around multiple weddings or multiple images or just document the one wedding?
I think it is really good to do the one wedding, one blog post, one wedding, one blog post, but then many people, especially wedding photographers, maybe only photograph 25 to 30 weddings a year, but there's 52 weeks in the year. And I would ideally say that you should post one blog post a week. That's like a really good number. That's one of those questions I always get. Like, how often should I post? And once a week, pick a day, post on the same day of the week every week. So if part of your schedule is the one wedding per week for that wedding that you had either that weekend or the weekend before, and that's great because then the couple can share it with their friends and their family and lots of people can see that post. But then you have those off weeks where you're left wondering, okay, now what do I talk about? What do I write about? You know, because if you've ever had 26 weddings, now you have 26 other blog posts to do for the rest of the year. And that's where you can come up with other things. Like, you know, as I mentioned, like what are things that your clients might be searching for? I did a post one time that was just a post featuring my favorite venue. And I said, this is one of my favorite churches in Houston. I love photographing this church. There's all these cool details in the church, and that's what makes this church so special to me. And all I did was talked about the venue. I didn't talk about a particular wedding. But then when potential clients were searching for photos of that venue because they were considering booking the venue, my photos were coming up. And most people book a venue before they book a photographer. So like those are really good things to do in the off season, to do in the slow season, to do when maybe you just don't have something else to post that week. That's how the Father's Day post happened. It was just a good time to talk about that thing. Maybe if it's your slow season when you don't normally have a lot of weddings or a lot of portrait sessions, you could go back through your old work and just find an image that inspires you and talk about why it inspires you and talk about what's happening in the image, or you can share your own story about that image. It doesn't actually have to be from the client's point of view, and it just helps people get to know you.
So how do you write like that? Because this sounds like another diary post. So, you know, you're talking about an experience or your feelings or what a particular image means to you. How do you write a diary post and make it for your next client?
I think what you're doing is sharing what you believe in and how you feel. And that's for your next client because it's preventing that situation that I was in when I was shopping for a photographer and just desperately wanting to know what made each of them unique. So it's okay if it's a bit more diary-like in that case and talking about you because you are the person that I'm hiring. You are the person that I want to work with, but I need you to tell me why. I think the really hard thing for people, the stumbling block that people come up against is we are all told, like, you're not supposed to brag about yourself or you're not supposed to talk yourself up. And in general, polite conversation, that's probably true. But when it comes to your business, if you don't talk yourself up, nobody else will either. So we have to think about this as if we're talking about the business, not that we're talking about ourselves, that, you know, we're not bragging about ourselves or we're talking about how we feel about the work that we do and why it matters to us. And I realize there are some people out there that they are photographers because it's their work. And they aren't photographers because it's their passion. Or maybe they're doing a particular type of photography because that's the one that they found to be most profitable for them. And it's not their first love. And they may find it harder. But even then, I would encourage them to dig and find the things that they do want to talk about. And I think a lot of us do this. After we have a session or we have a wedding or whatever, we end up talking to our friends and there's some moment in the day that happened that we're like, oh my goodness, you won't believe what happened. This happened and everybody was laughing and it was so fun. Those are your moments to talk about on your website. You just have to translate them into writing.
Okay. Is there a secret or a trick or an easy way to do that? So is that really how you want it to sound? You want it to sound like you're, you know, down at the bar with your mates or catching up with your girlfriends, having a coffee. And I don't mean to be stereotypical there, but let's say you're in that situation. Is that the tone and the feel you want from your blog post? Like as if you're telling your friend what happened?
That would go to how you want your messaging to come from your brand. Because there are some people, I have a friend and past client who works with super high-end weddings. Like, she generally can't share photos from any of her weddings because of non-disclosure agreements. And in her case, that would be a horrible tone for her website. Matter of fact, I've even pointed out to her, she shouldn't have a blog because she can't be seen. Like, part of her brand is, you can trust me. I'm not going to share anything with anyone. Like, it's on lockdown. So in the case of her brand, no, she shouldn't do that. For the majority of us, yes, it is actually a really good tone to adopt. And you can choose, though, maybe you want your blog to be a touch more professional. But I always encourage people to write the blog post first and then write social media posts that point back to it. We tend to think that we can only share something on social media once. That's not the case. You can write a blog post and then share about that portrait session, that wedding, whatever it was. You can share it on Instagram for the next 6 months. And for the most part, people won't notice. So you can keep referencing back the content that you already wrote, basically quoting yourself. You can share it on Facebook repeatedly. I say over and over again, stop giving Facebook all your good content. It's tempting to write things on Facebook first because we get the likes and it feels good. Again, those brain chemicals at work. It feels so good when somebody likes or comments on your Facebook post. So we give Facebook all this great content, either on your personal page or mostly on your business page, that people might see it for the next 48 hours. But after that, it's just gone. Nobody scrolls 3 months back on your Facebook business page, but they will scroll that far back on your blog. And more importantly, the search engines will index it. Google will show it to people 3, 6, 8 months down the road. So it's better to do it on your blog first and then share it on social media. However, you asked about my trick for writing the post.
Hang on, let's get back to your trick in just 1 second, because I think one of the big reasons that people post to Facebook first and more consistently is because it feels so easy. You know, you type in a few paragraphs, put up a photo or two, and it's done. Can blogging be that easy?
So that's my trick. That's actually my trick. I had somebody, she wrote these great, fantastic Facebook posts all the time. And she approached me at WPPI after I had spoken at WPPI. And she came up to me and she said, I really struggle with blogging. It intimidates me. It scares me. And I was like, you write all these fantastic Facebook posts all the time. What do you mean blogging scares you? And she's like, oh, that's different. It's Facebook. And so I told her, I said, okay, open up Facebook, write all the text that you want to say in Facebook. Don't hit publish, just copy it, paste it into your blog software. She was using WordPress. I said, paste it into WordPress and then add the photos to it over in WordPress. And 2 weeks later, she's like, oh my goodness, I can't stop blogging now. Like, this is so easy, because she was writing it in Facebook where she didn't feel intimidated. And eventually, I think she has adopted what I mentioned about she would actually write it in Facebook, copy it to her blog, and hit publish on both at the same time. So the post went out in Facebook and she got the likes and the comments and she felt great about it. But she also had a blog post saved. And she wasn't giving her content away. And she can refer back to that blog post. It's almost like building a library of knowledge for yourself. Because I find it really handy if somebody comes to you and says, hey, do you have examples of this type of work? Then you can just send them to 2 or 3 blog posts that are already live right there. Yeah, here's where I either worked in that venue that you want to use. I've taken pictures at that park or that part of the city that you want to photograph in, you know, whatever the case may be. And you can just refer them to your whole like library of content that exists on your blog. Plus, you're getting the benefit of search engines. Google doesn't search Facebook.
I was going to ask you about duplicate content, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Google's locked out of Facebook.
Right. Okay. So you can literally have the same post on Facebook and your blog.
Right. But the benefit of having it on your blog is then you can refer to it over and over. Most WordPress themes have a plugin already built in, or code already built in, or you can add plugins that that suggest, hey, if you like this post, you might like these three other posts. I mean, your goal should be to get people to your website. And I've observed that this seems to be a flaw in a lot of people's social media marketing plan is they know they want people to see their posts and they know that they want people to follow them, but they don't really think about how am I going to get this person from social media over to my website so that they can then contact me through the contact form and buy. And everyone that I've talked to that has ever said, I booked clients through Instagram, when we really sat down and looked at it, they were booking clients through their website. Yes, the clients were finding them on Instagram, but they were still getting to their website. I mean, Instagram especially makes that a little hard to do. Facebook does now too. Facebook doesn't show your posts a lot of times if there's a link in it. Thank you, Facebook.
So is there a way around that, or you just have to try putting in links occasionally? Or
putting in links occasionally. Some people attempt the putting the link on Facebook, putting link in the first comment instead of in the original post. I don't know how effective that really is. I think Facebook has just become much more you have to pay to play. And if you watch what Instagram is doing today, Instagram is taking the same steps that Facebook took 2 or 3 years ago, and it's where Instagram is going to. My personal step around it is for the second and third quarter of 2018, I'm focusing on Pinterest. Pinterest is the number three search engine in the world. So it's Google, YouTube, Pinterest. And it's a visual search engine. We're photographers. We have what everybody on Pinterest wants. We have photos. And Google indexes Pinterest. Pinterest and Google play together nicely. So if you go do a search for a lot of different things, you will find that the top 10 posts most of the time are either a link to a blog or a link to Pinterest.
Okay, I don't go too far down the Pinterest rabbit hole, but just quickly, in Pinterest, I know it's an image-based search engine and social media platform. Are you still using words or copy inside Pinterest?
Yes. In the code for the image that you save, you can declare a Pinterest description as well. You can include keywords. I would include things like where you were at, maybe descriptions of the people in the photos, the clothing that they wear, just things that people might be searching for as they were planning family portraits, as they're planning a wedding. If they're boudoir photographers, they might be, you know, looking for boudoir outfits. Including that text in the description of the image.
All right, let me bring you back to blogging, because I would really love to get some ideas to help the listener actually get in and start blogging. I love that tip about writing into Facebook, copy and paste that into your blog post. What have you learned or found or know is the easiest way to blog consistently? Like, is there a method to, you know, should you be using just a text editor to write first? Should you write straight into your WordPress or your Squarespace site? Should you upload as soon as you finish writing? Should you edit first or sit on it for a week? Like, do you have any strategies there?
I think you have to find the one that works for you. So I personally am a write fast and publish. So I write it quickly. I half the time don't even reread it. And I just hit publish. My husband, on the other hand, would be a write it, leave it in draft mode for 2 days, come back and reread it, edit it, and then publish. So that's what works for him and doesn't work at all for me. It's more finding what works for you, what's your style of doing it, and then doing it regularly, like thinking of this as, to me, I have found that blogging is really the center of your social media universe. So if you already have a system in place for posting to Instagram regularly or you're posting to your Facebook business page, add this in. And like I said, do it first. And then take from the longer form content, the content for your social media post. When you do it that way, it doesn't necessarily add that much more time to what you're doing, because you're still having to write copy to go with your Instagram post or whatever you're posting on Facebook. You're just writing a few more paragraphs as a blog post and then quoting yourself from it for these other social media posts.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
I love it. So is all this stuff covered in your Blogging Brilliantly for Business book? And is that specifically for photographers or is it more general?
So the current edition is a bit more general, although there are definitely photographer-focused examples in there. And I wrote this after many, many years of experience. We're actually up to 18 years of blogging now at this point in time. Hard to believe. And I have been blogging since before WordPress existed, because that is my geek claim to fame, is I actually named WordPress. And no, I didn't work for them and I wasn't paid. Matt still owes me a steak dinner. So keep telling him that. But that's okay. Wow. I'm cool with it. It's a cool geek claim to fame. The book itself is based not only on things that I've done that have worked for me, but things that I have tested with many other people. I think so often we see things where somebody's like, I tried this and this worked for me, therefore it will work for you, and it doesn't necessarily. So this is really focused on many, many years of blogging experience. I am coming out later in 2018 with a photographer-specific edition of the book. So it will have some edits. There's a few plugins that are mentioned in the book that sadly are no longer available. One of my favorite plugins ever is no longer available, and it's mentioned in the book. So edits like that will happen. And then even more photographer-specific examples will be added.
Nice. So that's at the end of this year.
Actually, probably mid-year in 2018. So keep an eye on Amazon, and just like the previous book, it will be available both in Kindle and paperback edition. So whichever you prefer to read, you can get a copy that works for you.
Unreal. Well, I'll add links to these in the show notes as well to go along with this interview. Where else is the best place for the listener to check you out? Because I know you have the Life Boss podcast. You also have your website. Where's the best place? And probably all over social media too, aren't you?
I am all over social media. As I mentioned, the big reason why I'm not, well, actually the secondary reason why I'm not going forward and using my name for the new wedding business is because everything is at christinetremolet.com. I realize for the people listening right now, Tremolet is impossible to spell. So I also own thelifeboss.com, and thelifeboss.com points to the exact same website. It's like I have two ways to get to the same destination. So they can use thelifeboss.com to get there as well.
Perfect.
And the podcast is there. The videos that I'll be creating about building the wedding business will be there. The whole building a brand from the ground up will all be there. Everything is there in one place.
At the christinetremolet.com site.
Yes.
Or thelifeboss.com. Got it. Cool. Christine, this has been an absolute pleasure. I can't believe it's been this long since I've actually had you on the show, because I've known you for quite a while. And I just want to say massive thanks for sharing everything you have, and look forward to getting this out there and having listeners hear this and comment and, yeah, follow you up.
I would say, please feel free to reach out to me. I am on Facebook, Instagram. I'm on Twitter. Not very often, but I still see when people send messages to me. And email, feel free to reach out to me if you have questions or if there are other ways that I can help you. And thank you again for having me on.
I hope you got as much from that interview with Christine as I did. I hope you're as excited about blogging and storytelling and using the strategies that she talked about as I am. Christine, if you're listening, again, a massive thanks for coming on and sharing everything you did. I love the fact that you are going through exactly the same process that so many listeners are at the same time, and you're able to draw on those experiences and share what you're going through with us at the same time as giving us the great advice that you did. So again, a massive thanks to you. For you, the listener, are you more inspired and excited and keen to try blogging or get back to blogging or do more blogging or introduce better stories into your blogs after hearing that interview? Was there a particular takeaway or something that Christine said that you thought, yeah, I'm absolutely going to get back and start doing this in my business? If there is, I would love to hear about it. I know Christine would as well. Leave a comment in the comments area. and you'll find them in the show notes or at the bottom of the show notes. And they are at photobizx.com/270. That's 270. Now, in those show notes, in addition to the comments area at the very bottom, where I want to hear about your takeaway, what is your one big takeaway from today's episode, from what Christine had to share? Leave your comment there. And while you're on that page with the show notes, you'll find links to anything and everything that Christine mentioned, to her book, to her podcast, to her website, all there in the show notes at photobizx.com/270. And if you are a premium member, I'll be adding Christine into the members Facebook group, so you'll have access to her there. If you've got any follow-up questions, if there's something that I didn't ask that you wish that I did, you can hit her up inside that Facebook group. I've got four big shout-outs for today's episode, but I can only really give two proper shout-outs because I don't know who two of the reviewers were. So the first one goes to Joanna Kisielinska, who's based in Ireland in the UK. So hopefully, Joanna, we get to meet up when I'm over in the UK in August. That will be fantastic. And the second big shout-out goes to Bradley Keith. He's a headshot photographer based in Virginia in the USA. And both these listeners, both these photographers left fantastic, beautiful, lovely reviews in iTunes for the PhotoBizX podcast. The other two reviews were from CatAlex88 from Australia. So CatAlex88 from Australia and 000878 from Australia. So that's 000878 from Australia. So if that's you, let me know who you are, because I want to say a proper thanks and I want to add a link to your website using the keyword phrase that you're looking to rank for to help you with your SEO. I nearly said ISO. I want to help you with your SEO. It's a little extra way that I can say thanks in addition to the shout out for leaving your lovely reviews and your ratings inside iTunes. So I've done exactly that for Joanna and for Bradley. And I'm not going to read these reviews today, but I might pick out one or two lines which really struck me as encouraging for what I'm doing and for the podcast. Joanna says in her review, I highly recommend you join Andrew's Facebook group, which is the PhotoBizX members Facebook group, which is full of helpful and kind people. And that's what I keep saying when anyone asks. It is the only photography Facebook group that I've experienced that isn't full of massive egos, that's full of kind, helpful people. I mean, you just can't ask for anything more than that. Kind, helpful, experienced photographers helping one another. That's, yeah, it really is a one of a kind. In Cat Alex's review, they say, I've seen more inquiries and website traffic as I slowly put the things I've learned in the podcast into practice. I can't recommend a premium membership to PhotoBiz Exposed enough. That is awesome to hear. I love hearing that people are actually implementing what they hear. That's the best. That makes me smile. Bradley says, if you're a portrait or wedding photographer, you need to start listening now, which I'm guessing you already are if you're listening and you're hearing this. And he says that he signed up for a premium membership after one day. Total goldmine. Love that. And 000878. That's an interesting name. I absolutely love what you say in your review, in your last paragraph. And this is just another big plus for the Facebook group. They say every member inside the Facebook group seems to have adopted the pay it forward mentality. You will receive more support than you could ever dream of having. That is just, yeah. I love reading stuff like that. It's so good, so good. So if you haven't left a review for either of the podcasts, PhotoBizX or the Photography Experiment podcast, and you want to hear a proper shout out where I include your real name, leave a review in iTunes for either podcast. Let me know that you've done that. And also let me know the URL you'd like me to link to using the keyword phrase that you'd like me to link to your website with so I can help you with your SEO. And it's the least I can do because those reviews, those ratings in iTunes, they help other photographers find the podcast, which is a massive help for me. So again, massive thanks to you guys for doing that this week. Okay, that is it for this episode for this week. I'm looking forward to reading your comments inside the show notes and also inside the members Facebook group if you're a premium member. And more than anything, I'm looking forward to hearing from you if you're based in the UK, anywhere in the UK, and you can help out with my travel plans to meet up with you and other photographers in the UK in August. And if you're based anywhere else in the world and you have any suggestions about the content that you would like to hear as I travel around and meet and see or stay with these other photographers, then by all means, let me know as well. I'd love to hear your ideas and your thoughts. You know, do you want to keep it just focused on business? Do you want to get into the heads of the photographers? Do you want me to just wing it and take it as it comes and just serve you up a fruit salad of ideas, depending on who I'm talking to and what they do with their business? So yeah, give me your feedback, give me your ideas. If I can implement them and use them for this experimental trip, then yeah, let me know. I'd love to hear it. All right, that's it for me. Have an awesome week. I will speak to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.